worship service today. Our opening hymn is number 797, Praise the Almighty. Following that hymn, we'll pray Matins. That's on page 219 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Our focus today will be on the Old Testament reading and Jacob's ladder. Before we sing, let's take a moment, notice and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. May not know who you're sitting with or worshiping next to. Take a moment and find out. And remember, in Jesus, we are all one. Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you shower down upon us in the gift of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are many things in this world that drive us to despair. Sometimes it is our own sin and the consequences of that sin. Other times it is the sinful condition of the world or our so-called friends who sin against us. In our despair, in our loneliness, in our depression, we question, we doubt, we worry, and we are tempted even to abandon you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you take the initiative and you come to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, for us and for our salvation. Today, give us peace, peace of mind, peace of heart, peace that is the forgiveness of sins, and from that peace, Lord, give us hope. Hope in any and every situation. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, crucified and risen, to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. We say, hymn 797.
Okay. Order of Matins, page 219.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now,
be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come
for this day. Sing it.
Okay. We sing the intro.
The Lord hears. The Lord's
Hymn, Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart, hymn 708. Please be seated.
Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 28. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, an angel of God was ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land of which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 4. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the graduals you find in the front of your bulletin insert. O Lord, I call upon you, hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayers be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 9. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic, lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, This man is blaspheming. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, Rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, of the nation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation. The Old Testament reading from Genesis 28, the familiar Sunday school story of Jacob's ladder, especially these words. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Your brothers and sisters in Christ, how did you sleep last night? No, I'm serious. How did you sleep? Maybe you have one of these miracle pillows that you see advertised on TV, and it doesn't really matter what happens in your life, you just sleep and it's a miracle. But that's not the way it is for most people. How did you sleep? Did you toss and turn because you were worrying about certain things going on in your life? Certain things going on with your work? With your family? With your church? With your marriage? With the world? With your bank account? How did you sleep? Several years ago, after a particularly crushing defeat, a newspaper reporter asked Coach Tom Osborne, "Coach, how did you sleep last night?" And Coach Osborne says, "I slept like a baby. I woke up every 2 hours and cried." How did you sleep? There are some times when the weight and the worry of this world wears down upon us that even when we are completely exhausted, we have a hard time sleeping. So, sometimes we take matters into our own hands. Maybe we count sheep, but more often we count how many programs we watched on Netflix or how many empty beer cans it took to get us to that spot so we could actually sleep. My friends, There are many times when our hearts are so heavy and we find no peace that we just can't sleep. God's Word for us today, Genesis 28, gives us a picture of what happens. Or maybe what God wants to happen when we can't sleep. We are introduced in Genesis to Jacob. We know that Jacob is the son of Isaac and Rebekah. Jacob has a twin brother Esau. And that Jacob was kind of naughty. He was a trickster. He lied and he deceived. He tricked his brother out of his birthright. His mom plotted and schemed to trick his dad Isaac into giving the blessing of the firstborn, not to brother Esau, but to Jacob. We know the story, don't we, from our Sunday school days? Jacob stayed at home and helped mom in the kitchen. Esau was dad's favorite, a mighty hunter, big and hairy. They disguised, they cooked the food. Isaac was suspicious, but Jacob got the blessing after all. When Esau comes home from the long day's hunt, happy, victorious, he quickly becomes crushed because of all the events that had happened. And Isaac, knowing that no matter how this worked, the details, this was from God that Jacob would receive the blessing, Isaac says, "I've given the blessing, I have no more to give." And Esau was not a happy camper. Esau was mad. Esau wanted to kill his brother Jacob. This was not some hyperbole talk. He plotted and schemed to murder his brother. Jacob had only one course of action. He had to skedaddle. He had to run. He had to hit the hills. He had to get away and run and escape with his life. And that's exactly what he did. And he ran, and he ran, and he ran, and he ran. He avoided all of the cities because he didn't know where Esau or Esau's buddies or soldiers would be. He ran, and now he's out in the middle of nowhere. He's in the wilderness. He can't ask anyone for help. He can't trust anyone. Behind every tree or rock in the shadow is fear and terror. He got the blessing, but what good did it do him? Esau's back home in charge of everything, and he's on the lam. God had abandoned him, or at least that's what he thought. Through his evil, wicked treachery, God was punishing him, or so he thought. He's wandering along, our text says. He left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And our reading in verse 11 says, "And he came to a certain place." The Hebrew word construction here is very, very odd. It literally says, as he was walking along, a certain place reached out and grabbed him. This wasn't happenstance. It seems like a coincidence, but God says, here, right here. And so Jacob, for no particular reason, in this particular place that reached out and grabbed him, he lays down for the night. And guess what? Jacob couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep because he was afraid. He was afraid if he let down his guard and closed his eyes, he'd wake up dead. To ensure that he wouldn't sleep too sound, he got his own version of a miracle pillow. He got a rock. Now, I don't know about you. I can't imagine using a rock for a pillow. But that's exactly what he did. Why? Because he didn't want a sound sleep. As exhausted as he was, as full of anguish as he was, he knew he couldn't sleep sound. It would be too dangerous. But he slept. And oh, did he sleep. And while he slept in this place that the Lord had picked out for him, while he slept, the Lord came to him in a dream. My friends, sometimes these dream accounts in scriptures get us confused or get us all worked up. God's Word says, in the former days, God spoke to His people, to His prophets, in many and various ways. Handwriting on the walls, a visit from an angel, through a dream. But in these latter days, He has spoken to us through His Son. God is speaking to us through His Word right now. And His Word is teaching us that God allowed Jacob to sleep, and while he slept, God came to him. And He came to him with a reason, for a purpose. Jacob, full of doubt, full of anguish, full of shame, full of fear, he needed what only God could provide. Jacob couldn't rid himself of this depression, this doubt, this guilt, this shame, this feeling of abandonment, this feeling of loneliness. Jacob couldn't get rid of it himself. Only God, in His mercy, could do something about it. And that's exactly what He does. Verse 12, "And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." For hundreds and hundreds of years, church teachers and theologians and preachers have tried to explain what this ladder is. Some have said that it is the ladder of good works that you must climb upon and work your way to God. Others have said that the rungs on the ladder are those faithful preachers and teachers throughout the course of history. All kinds of ideas and notions that have nothing to do with what God's Word says. Jesus Himself teaches us the significance of this ladder. And it has absolutely nothing with us crawling our way to God. In the Gospel of John, after Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael, John 1, verse 51, "And Jesus said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This ladder that extends or touches heaven and earth is none other than Jesus. This ladder is teaching the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, who comes to us because we cannot go to Him. God, who comes to us in flesh and blood. We do not have a faraway God that has no idea what's going on here on earth, who doesn't know, doesn't care, or can't do anything about it. God comes to us. And here, in this text from Genesis 28, God is teaching us how He comes to us. He is that ladder that comes down to heaven. He is the one that the angels proclaim. Remember at the Christmas story, Luke 2? "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you." This is the ladder that the angels proclaim. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh for you, Jacob. And not just for you, but for all who cling to the Word of God. Jacob is full of doubt. Jacob is full of worry. Jacob is full of torment. Jacob, on his own power, can't sleep. He's full of depression. He's full of melancholy. He's full of loneliness and doubt. He thinks, by his great sin, he has negated the promise of God. When you can't sleep, have those thoughts ever crossed your mind? God has forsaken me. God doesn't know the hurt and the pain that I'm going through. Maybe there is no God. Why do I hurt so bad? Why am I all alone? Why is my family falling apart? Why is my loved one sick or dying? or dead. My friends, there are times in our life, whether we recognize it or verbalize it or not, when, like Jacob, we are at rock bottom. Maybe we are not literally using a rock for a pillow, but we are there. We are at rock bottom, and just when we think things can't get any worse, we discover there's a whole nother level of rock bottom that we didn't realize existed. We doubt the Word of God. We doubt the promises of God. We doubt the reality of God. We doubt the love of God. And we doubt the power of God to do anything about our hurt. What God does for you is exactly what God did for Jacob. And behold, the Lord stood above it, the ladder, and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, is your God. I have not abandoned you. I have not forgotten you. I am right here, right now. I know your hurt. I know your pain. I know your sin. And I am here. And I am still your God. And then God does not scold him for his actions. He doesn't chastise him for his sin. Jacob already feels the weight and burden of his sin. God speaks a word of promise, a word of love, a word of forgiveness, a word of hope. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. The blessing that God gave to Abraham and Isaac has not been lost. God verbalizes it once again. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. Jacob is all alone. He has abandoned his family. He has no wife. He has no kids. He has no heirs. He has no descendants. And because of that, he has no future. But God says, no. Don't listen and believe with your eyes, with your reason. Listen and believe me and my word and my promises. What your eyes and ears and heart tell you will deceive you. But you can trust me and you can trust my word. And then he says, and in you and your offspring shall all families of the earth be blessed. This blessing sometimes races by us. And we think about land and descendants and monetary wealth. And all of the wonderful things that God is promising Jacob. The blessing through the seed of Jacob, through which all people on earth will be blessed, is none other than this ladder touching heaven and earth. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, through whom is the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who places Himself under the law, the same law that condemns Jacob, the same law that condemns you and me, and Jesus fulfills it. He keeps it. He doesn't have to die. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who takes all of our sin of thinking that God has forgotten us. Our sin of worry, our sin of doubt, our sin of looking for hope and peace in all the wrong places. Our sins that keep us awake at night. He has taken all of our sin into Himself and onto Himself, bleeding and dying the death we deserve. Jesus Christ, who dies the punishment for all sin, for all time. Your sin, my sin, the sin of the world. Death could not hold Him. 3 days later, Jesus, who was dead, is now alive, never to die again. This blessing is yours by grace through faith. This blessing is yours as God wrapped you in it in the waters of holy baptism. This blessing that God gave in and through Jacob is yours. Peace, forgiveness, life, and hope. My friends, Jacob did not immediately see the fulfillment of any of these promises. In fact, what he saw was just the opposite. 20 years of hard work and hard labor under his uncle Laban, who was an even bigger scoundrel than Jacob was. And yet God was with him. And God blessed him. He had the benefit of the promise given through his dad, Isaac. And yet Esau was back in home. Esau was enjoying all the fun and fruits of the family. It would be more than 2 decades before they would reconcile. And he would see the fruit of the blessings that God had given him. Oh yes, and then there would be that big scene on the side of the road where Jacob would be renamed Israel as he wrestled with God Himself. My friends, we wrestle with God every day. We wrestle with the promises of God. We wrestle with the reality of God. We wrestle with our own sin. And yet God speaks to you in the same way that He spoke to Jacob. He says, "Behold, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." God's promise to Jacob is your promise. I'm with you. I will not leave you. I will not leave you till all these promises come to fruition. The response of Jacob? How awesome is this place? The response of Jacob? Surely the Lord dwells here. This is the gate of heaven. My friends, wherever the Word of God is proclaimed in its truth and purity, wherever the sacraments are administered according to the command and promise of God, there is the gate of heaven. There is the awesome place. It's right here. As you hear the Word of God and receive the gifts of God. You know, it was about 17 years ago when I made my first trip to Haiti. The first sermon out of many that I preached on that trip was on Genesis 28. I stood in a place where I had never been, mostly afraid for my life. I stood amongst people that I did not know. I spoke through a translator because I did not speak the language. But with the full confidence of God, I was able to stand and say, how awesome is this place? This is the gate of heaven. How awesome is this place? Because forgiveness, life, and salvation are proclaimed here through the blood of Jesus Christ, crucified and shed for you. So often, we live in our own little box, in our own little world. We think we are the only ones that are having any issues or any problems. We forget about our brothers and sisters in Christ in our family, in our church family, in our bigger church family, and certainly throughout the world. My friends, God's love for you is so great, that He picks the place for you. He comes to you in Jesus. He comes to you and His Word, and He gives you hope. Wherever the Word of God is, there is hope. This is how Luther said it in a sermon on this very text. I think that after the patriarch Jacob had been awakened from his sleep, he was drenched to such an extent with joy and gladness when he thought about this promise that he was altogether beside himself, thunderstruck and ecstatic. But this should be applied to our own use, in order that we may acknowledge the magnitude of God's grace, which has been revealed and given to us through the gospel. For we are absolved through the Word. And on the authority of Christ, we are told, I baptize you. I extend to you the body and blood of Christ. I tear your soul by power from the force of the devil. I set you free from eternal death and damnation. I make you a child of God and an heir of eternal life. These words which God speaks to us are so grand, so eternal, and so infinite that we cannot grasp them. For my nature is too weak to be able to endure them. My friends, these promises are real. These promises are yours. Your sins are forgiven. You are a child of God. God has reserved a place for you in His mansions in heaven. Cling to that Word. Cling to these promises. And as you do, sleep well. Sleep well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our sleep in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the Word of God and filled with His forgiveness and hope, we are bold to confess our faith. This morning we do it in song. We sing the Te Deum, page 223 and following. Please stand as you're able. welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation in Jesus Christ would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Our service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. We begin with the Kyrie, middle of page 227. Please stand. Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
Almighty and merciful God, of your boundless goodness, keep from us all things that may hurt us, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish whatever you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for Good Shepherd member Marge Kelly, who is anticipating surgery this week. We pray for Good Shepherd member Joyce Thompson, who who continues to be hospitalized, recuperating from surgery. We pray for the family of Barb Poppy, whose sister, Diane Greckel, was called to her eternal home yesterday. We pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy, save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the Word and the Holy Sacraments, making them perfect in love and in all good works, and establishing in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant your wisdom and heavenly grace to all pastors and to those who hold office in your church, that by their devoted service, faith may abound and your kingdom increase. We ask your blessings this day upon Dr. Allman as he begins his new charge in Houston. And we ask your blessings upon the Haiti Lutheran Mission Society, Pastor Bernard, and all of the pastors and teachers in Haiti. Bless them in their work, keep them faithful to your word, and may your kingdom increase. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
In your mercy, strengthen newly established congregations and support them in challenging times. Make them steadfast, abounding in the work of the Lord, and let their faith and zeal for the gospel refresh and renew the witness of your people everywhere. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sanctify our homes with your presence and bless them with joy. Keep our children in the covenant of their baptism and enable parents to bring them up in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and service, that they may show your praise in our land and throughout all the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity, and those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith, and have mercy to those whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Jesus. Again, it is our great honor and great pleasure to have Pastor Thomas Bernard from the Haiti Lutheran Church here. Ask Pastor Bernard to say a few words today. He will be leading Bible study time today. We have a display up there. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for all the activities and events happening in the days and weeks ahead. Coffee and goodies, then Bible study in the fellowship hall. Vicar will be taking Pastor Murundi's class today in room 109. We'll have Sunday school opening in here in about 10 minutes or so. And just as a reminder, the kids have been working on a Reformation hymn, and they are singing, the Sunday school kids are singing next Sunday at the 8 o'clock service. Make sure everybody gets that. Next Sunday at the 8 o'clock service. All right, very good. There we go. I'll let you do that. Is somebody up there? Okay. Brent, how about if I just hold it, Pastor?
Okay.
All right. Then we don't have to worry about it.
Good morning. I'm Thomas Bernard. I'm from Haiti. And this morning, I'm so pleased to be with you. I bring you greetings from all the members from the different congregations I'm serving in Haiti. It's a real delight for me to see each one of you who have been sponsoring, helping us in Haiti. And we pray that the Lord will continue to bless you in various ways. And since I'm going to be speaking in Bible study, so you will be probably knowing more things about what I'm doing in Haiti. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be here with you this morning. Thanks.
Thank you, Pastor.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Barry, when was it you were in Haiti? Year 2000? Okay. And Barb and I were in Haiti the first time, January of 2000 as well. And what's that? Yeah, Sandy has been there more recently. Sandy was singing up in the choir. Sandy, when were you there? 2 years ago. All right, all right. And it was about, Dick, remind me, I want to say it was about a year and a half ago when you were here in worship with Leonard. Leonard Isidore, our driver and great, great, great friend, was here at Good Shepherd worshiping with us not very long ago. And in January of this year, he was brutally murdered. And it's a great loss for the church, and our hearts still grieve. But Haiti is an awesome place because the Word of God is there, thanks to Pastor Bernard and the work of the Haiti Lutheran Mission Society. So if you're able to be with us for coffee and goodies and Bible study time, I encourage you to do so. It won't be a disappointment. If you can't, make sure you grab a newsletter and a brochure. And in the current newsletter, you will see a picture of one of our Good Shepherd Lincoln members. So I'm not going to embarrass him now, but that's a teaser. So you can check that out, and we're very, very happy and thankful to be working and continue to work with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Haiti. Thanks be to God. Join us for coffee and goodies. Have a great day and week in the Lord Jesus.